church, would you stand in the house this morning? Let's sing this together.
No longer I who live, but Christ in
Yeah!
love your children. We want to seek after you with all of our hearts this morning, because nothing else will satisfy you. Just you. Just you, Lord. We're here for you. We glorify your name. I'm
caught up in your presence, and I just want to see.
Nothing else will do. on this morning, nothing else, Lord. We fix our eyes right on you,
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Right on you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer today. Heavenly Father, that's the cry of our hearts today, is that we want more of you. We want only you, Lord God. Today, Lord God, we declare that we will not accept any substitute. We will not put our own agenda ahead of the agenda that you have for us today. We'll not put our own heart's desires ahead of your heart's desires. We won't put our thoughts and our reasonings ahead of you today. Today, we want this to be all about you, Lord God. We know you to be a good and a faithful God. You have never failed us. You have never left us alone. You've never let us down, Lord. And we know today, Lord God, that you're here in our midst. You're here today because you love each and every one of us. And God, we respond back to your love and we say, we love you too, Lord. We love your presence. We love your help. We love your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness, Lord God. So today, Lord God, we lift up our cups to you and we ask you to just fill them, Lord God, to overflowing. We thank you for what you want to do today, God. Come on, friends, can we just reach out to him today? Can we just cry out to him from our hearts? He's here. He wants to hear from you today. Lord God, from the voice of our own hearts, Lord God, we just praise you today. We declare that you're worthy of the highest praise. We declare that you're worthy, Lord God, to be worshiped and to be magnified in this place today. And we do that today, oh God. Lord, your word says that if we seek you, that we will find you. And today, God, we have come to seek you and everything about you, God. Help us to find you, Lord God. Help us to identify any obstacles that might be keeping us from getting there today. Point those out to us, Lord God. Then give us the faith and the boldness, Lord God, to remove them. Because we want to reach out today and even just touch the very hem of your garment. Because we know that if we can do that, God, that we will be changed. We love your presence. Again, we declare. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Touch your people today. Minister to us. We'll be careful, God, to give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, and all God's people said, amen. Can we give him a big hand clap of praise, worship today? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is good to be a Christian today, amen. I don't know about you, but I like to be on the winning side, amen. And we're on the winning side today. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Thank you, Lord. All right. Wasn't expecting to be up here at this time. Would you take a moment and reach out and greet those around you today? God bless you. Amen and amen. All right, that's enough handshaking. Please be seated. We don't want to call the security team on you. If I can get your attention for a moment, we want to welcome to the platform today a very special guest. Of course, you know her. She's not really a guest. But Katie Ashcroft is here to share with us an exciting announcement about River Oak Christian School. Would you share with us?
Yes. Good morning, church. It has been my blessing to serve on the River Oak Christian Academy School Board for the last couple of years. And River Oak is a Christian school. We are non-denominational, serving children from pre-kindergarten or preschool all the way up through seventh grade. And starting in January, we will open enrollment for eighth grade to finish out a middle school expansion we've been doing. But over the past few years, River Oak has experienced tremendous growth as parents are looking for academic programming that is centered on Christ. And when I say centered on Christ, that means at River Oak, biblical truths permeate every subject matter, whether it's science, whether it's our literature and reading, music, art, The kids have chapel once a week, and then every week they have a memory verse. So if you multiply that out over the school year, and then over a period, if they stay with us, you know, for 7 or 8 years, that's a lot of scripture memorization. Last year, our enrollment was about 120, 121. This year, we're at 141 students, and based on calls to the school and waiting lists we have for new families, we're looking at projections of about 170, 175 for next year. And as you can imagine, it's getting pretty cramped in our current building. So in response to this, God has put on my heart and on the heart of our other board members a vision to build a new school for River Oak and to find a permanent home, if you will, for this school. And we are hosting an open house on Wednesday, October 26th in the morning at 10 a.m. I would like to invite all of you, if you have never been to River Oak, to come visit with us, and we'll be giving tours of the school. Rhonda LePage, a fellow board member, and Jeff Davidson, who's helping with our outreach committee, and I will be telling a little bit about the school and then about this project, including, you know, our vision, where we are right now, our time frame, this sort of thing. So we welcome you to join us and see some familiar faces. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. Appreciate you and all of those that are ministering at River Oak Christian Academy. What an awesome report today. Praise God. A couple other real quick announcements. We want to continue to remind you about our upcoming newcomers pizza party this coming Thursday night next door in the gym at 6 o'clock. If you are new to First Assembly family, within the last 6 months, you are invited and encouraged to come and be part of that free pizza party. But we need to get your name on the list so we know how much pizza to buy. And you can do that today by actually, right after service, come up to the front. And Pastor Deanna Nelgis, I love saying that, will be positioned up here at the altar area. And you can get signed up with her, and we'll get you added to the list. And, one other announcement, the youth announcement. Tomorrow is the deadline for the early bird registration, the early bird rates for youth convention next month in November. So if you've not signed up yet, you can do that on Realm or by getting with Pastor Lisa, and she'll get you signed up. Pastor is coming up this time.
Yes.
Let's welcome Pastor Lowell to the
platform. Good morning, everyone. And I come with the negative announcement for the day. I'm sorry to be the bearer of this bad news, but I wanted to address this. I talked about this a little bit in the first service this morning, two Sundays ago, and I did not want to talk about this last Sunday because we had a guest pastor and a longtime friend of mine. I didn't really want to do this in service last Sunday. But a couple of Sunday mornings ago, we had one of our single moms arrive for service, and she was having a particularly difficult day and pulled in and evidently did not park exactly correctly. And as she came out after church, she, and I have a picture of it here today, I'll show it to you, she found this note on her car. I'll let you look at that for just a moment. I want to say, and I have already said this to her, I wanted her to be sure that this was not First Assembly who did this, because I thought, you know, some people may think, well, the security team is moving about, maybe they're guarding the parking lot. No, we would not do this. And this precious lady came out after service, found this note on her car, and literally cried the whole way home. She'd had such a very difficult day. I just want to say that if you have ever received one of these notes, it's typed up and prepared ahead, obviously. If you've ever received this note, please know this is not the heart, this is not my heart, this is not the heart of First Assembly to put some kind of a little corrective note about, you know, wrong parking. I have parked wrongly myself at times. And my biggest fear is that, we're trying to reach people in Jeff City. And we're inviting people, inviting visitors and things like that. I don't want someone to come to First Assembly and to visit for the first time and find a note like this on their car. when they leave. Because if I were to do that, that would probably be my last time at that church, to be quite honest. And so whoever the messenger is, the note placer, I would just ask you, please, as your pastor, please don't do it. If you want to do that at Walmart, that's between you and the Lord. But please don't do this at First Assembly. We want people to experience the love and the grace and the mercy of God and the love of God's people. Amen? And so I would just ask you, if you're here in this service, if they were in the first service, they've already heard it. But please take that down. And sorry to have to bring that word to you today. The Lord is good. Amen? I wanted to bring that to you before the song, before the preaching. So it did not color my preaching this morning. Let's stand together, please. And we want to say thank you so much, dear friends, for being faithful givers to the work of God's kingdom and your faithfulness here to First Assembly. We appreciate you so very, very much, and we love you as the family of God. Let's sing together one of my favorite hymns in the book, Fairest Lord Jesus. Heidi, come and lead us, please.
Fairest Lord Jesus.
Song. I love to think about the the creation being bloomed, not in the garb of spring, but the garb of autumn. And what a beautiful start it's been to the fall season this year. And we're looking for colder weather even in the next couple days. Somebody say hallelujah. And we're grateful. I'm going to break out my fireplace sometime soon. And how many of you enjoy a good fireplace? If you have a fireplace where you burn wood, have me over sometime. I have a fireplace. It's a gas fireplace. You flip the button, and that suits me best. But I love a good roaring fireplace, and I love the fall, and it's just been a beautiful season, and we thank the Lord for his grace and for new beginnings even in the fall. Amen? I see Armando and Elizabeth here. They were married, united in marriage. Stand, Armando and Elizabeth. Let's congratulate them. They were united in marriage yesterday. Can you believe they're in church this morning? They were united in marriage yesterday, and we rejoice in them. Pastor Bob officiated that wedding sermon. Pastor Bob, stand up, Elizabeth and Armando. Step out into that aisle real quickly. Pastor Bob, take that microphone. Don't you think that if they came to church the day after they were married, that we ought to pray a special blessing upon them today? Can we do that? We're so proud of them, loving the Lord and serving the Lord. And I want Pastor Bob to lead us in a prayer of blessing over them for a beautiful future to come. Amen? Stretch your hands this way and let's agree in prayer for them today,
please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For the gift of Armando and Elizabeth, for bringing them together, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
As we talked about yesterday, we know that you have been directing their paths, that you have brought them together. And you have attached to their marriage a divine purpose and divine plans,
yes,
Lord God. And we pray your blessings and your favor, Lord God, to rest upon them. May this be a strong Christian marriage, Lord God.
Yes, yes.
And just bless their future tremendously. And we'll be there to rejoice with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen,
amen
and amen.
And amen. Amen. Congratulations, guys. Armando gave his heart to the Lord right here in this sanctuary a couple of years ago, and we are delighted that the Lord has just worked in their lives. We believe God has great things in store for them. Could you say amen? Let's look to the scriptures together, please. We're 6 minutes late already, so we've got to hurry. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 12. These are the words of Jesus as he's teaching the crowd one day. Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now. And that we're talking about just a few years here, John the Baptist's ministry. And then Jesus came on the scene as John was still doing his ministry. Jesus and John overlapped for a little bit. And then John ultimately would be arrested and placed in prison. And John the Baptist would be beheaded while Jesus was still doing his ministry. Jesus, a little later, would himself die on the cross for our sins. But Jesus is addressing the crowd one day about the ministry of John the Baptist. And Jesus says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, John the Baptist is the Elijah who was to come. He who has ears, let him hear. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. Our title for this morning is Praise Him with the Dance. Have you ever seen anybody do a dance in church? Anybody ever seen that? Have you ever seen someone break out in a happy dance? Yep. I grew up in church with people dancing to the Lord in praise. In fact, every now and then here at First Assembly, still someone may break out in a dance somewhere as an expression of worship to the Lord. Well, today's message is entitled, Praise Him with the Dance. Although I will say from the beginning of this message that this sermon is not merely about dancing. It could just as easily be about shouting or singing or crying tears of joy or lifting our hands, or giving some sacrificial gift to the Lord. It could be about working hard for God or bowing down in awe in the presence of God. This sermon today and the message of Jesus in our scripture today is about doing something. Everybody say something. It's about doing something in response to the good news of God. How many of you know God has good news for us? Say amen. And Jesus in this lesson today is addressing the necessity for us to do something in response to the goodness of God and the grace of God. Instead of doing nothing, we ought to do something. Would you say amen? Now, dancing in the history of God's people is a form of worship and celebration. It's a joyful response. It's a sort of an expression of victory or celebration. And I would call the dance as a form of worship sort of an overflow expression. I suppose you understand it if I were to say here, you know, that when I begin to feel happy, when we're singing about the goodness of the Lord, I may start by, are you watching me? Is everybody with me? I might start by doing this. By tapping my foot. You know, I might think, I'll never forget years ago, can I tell this story? This is a bad story. Several years ago, my sweet mom, she was already sort of, you know, losing some of her thinking processes, and we were over at my house for Thanksgiving. Mom loved music. She tapped her foot to everything. So we were playing some kind of a joke. I don't even, you know, we don't listen to secular country music like this, but as a joke for some purpose, I had a new sound system in the house, and I turned it on real loud to that song. Some of you will remember, you gotta know when to hold 'em. What's that called? The Gambler? Know when to fold 'em. And my mom wasn't too discerning at that time. And I played that song, and all through the house, my whole big family was there, probably 30 some people there. And as they were playing, you gotta know, my mom was in her chair doing this. And I thought, if my mom knew what we were playing while she's tapping her foot like that, she would kill me. But I might, if I enjoyed what was going on, to respond, I might start tapping my foot. If I really enjoyed the message, I might start clapping my hands a little bit. I might even begin to smile in the middle of hearing that worship song or experiencing that thing. I might even begin to sway a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? I might lift my hands. I might do a lot of things. But if I just became absolutely overwhelmed with what I was hearing and just thrilled from the core of my being, I might actually start to break out in a dance. Now, I'm not really a dancer. I've told you occasionally I might dance a little few jigs at home, you know, in worship music. But, you've never seen me break into a Pentecostal dance here in the church service. I'll leave that to our new pastor, Pastor Deanna. But the dance is sort of an expression of overflow. When I get to the place where I just can't contain myself anymore because of the goodness of God and the thoughts of the grace and the mercy and the salvation and the promises God has made to me, then if I just become overwhelmed, I might break out in a praise dance, okay? So when we think about praise in the pages of Scripture, the dance was an expression of overflow. And that overflow in the Scripture was a response to God's deliverance, His love, His goodness to His people, and God's people would dance in response to all of these things. Jesus teaches us with an illustration about dancing today. His illustration is this. There are children in the marketplace. They're playing games. Let's say they're playing church with each other, okay? And you know, when I preach, if I'm the kid and we're playing church, if I preach something, then you're supposed to do what? You're supposed to say amen. And the responses go back and forth and back and forth. Years ago, I was visiting with my good pastor friend, Doug Sampley, down. Well, at that time, he was pastoring his family in Oklahoma near the Tulsa area. And I went to visit him, and as we were visiting there, his little boy Joshua, the youngest of three kids, Joshua came out, and he had a toy gun. Now, we won't get into whether you should have toy guns, but this was way back there. And he had a toy gun, and he came out, and here I was visiting Pastor Lowell. They called me Uncle Lowell in those days. And so he came out, and he went, bang. Well, how many of you know if I don't play the game, it's a bummer? You know what I'm talking about? And so he went, bang, and I fell over. I got up. Guess what he did? Bang, and I fell over. I get up, bang. I could very quickly tell there was not any clear end to that scenario. And I was already at the place in life where I didn't have as much energy as I once did. And the constant falling down and getting up, falling down and getting up, I was looking for a quick exit from that game. But those kinds of games where there is a stimulus and a proper response is the kind of game Jesus is talking about in the scripture today. Jesus said, some of the children are over here, they're playing the flute. And when they play the flute, the other kids are supposed to get up and dance. That's just the normal response. Somebody plays the flute, somebody else needs to get up and dance. And if you're over there playing the flute and nobody dances, the whole thing is a bummer. Do you get the picture this morning? So Jesus said, this generation that I'm living in, said Jesus, is like children in the marketplace playing that game. There's a flute player, but no one is dancing. And Jesus teaches us in that lesson about responsiveness and non-responsiveness to the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said that when the one kid played the flute, the other kid didn't dance. You didn't dance. You didn't respond. You weren't moved enough to do anything. You just sat there, uninspired and unmotivated. So this morning, as we think about this call for responsiveness on the part of Jesus, I just want to declare today that I don't ever, are you listening to me this morning? I don't ever want to get to the place in my Christian life where I am bored with the Lord. Are you here this morning? Because if I get bored with the Lord, I can guarantee you there's nothing wrong with the Lord. What's wrong is with me. And Jesus is teaching us here that when the good gospel message is played, this song of the gospel, there ought to be a passionate response. As I thought about this message this last week, and as I'm in between series here on Sunday mornings, I began to think about the response of the dance in the pages of Scripture. And so I want us to look together quickly this morning at this message about the dance that Jesus gives to us. To do that, we're going to trace the dance through the pages of Scripture. Look with me on the outline, please, first of all, at the dancers of history, biblical history. How many of you know that dancing has been around forever? Okay, as long as we could possibly know about it. Well, deep in the pages of Old Testament history. Weeping has endured for the night. Oh, sweetheart. There they go. Pray, 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 everyone, pray. Pray for mercy. Yeah. Well, let's look first of all this morning at the dancers. Is everybody still awake and with me? Let's think about dancing in the pages of Old Testament history. There are three examples I want to give you from Scripture this morning. One is the dance of the delivered women. Everybody say, the delivered women. We want to look at a story where a bunch of women got together and they began to dance in celebration because they had been delivered from slavery. It's the story we find in Exodus 15. It's the story of the Israelites as they're crossing the Red Sea. They've just come out of slavery in Egypt. And as they come out of slavery in Egypt, the Egyptian army chases them out. And the Jews are headed out, but they come to the Red Sea. The Red Sea stands in front of them, the Egyptian army in back of them. And they don't know what they're going to do, but how many of you know God always knows what to do and we don't know? And as they're there, God performs one of the most famous miracles in the Bible. God parts the Red Sea and the Israelites walk across the sea on dry ground. That's a great miracle, isn't it? As soon as the Israelites get across the sea, God does another miracle. He lets the water fall back down on the Egyptians, and the entire Egyptian army is drowned right there, and the Israelites are able to march on free through the delivering power of God. Isn't that great? And so here's what the scripture says. When they got across there, and when Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister and Moses' sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and what? And dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." And here are the women dancing around on the other side of the Red Sea, declaring, "God has brought us out of slavery and into victory." Hallelujah. Well, that's an Old Testament story, but it paints for us a New Testament picture. Because how many of you here this morning, at one time you were lost, but now you're found? Say amen. At one time you were blind, but now you see? Say amen. At one time you were in slavery to the power of the devil, but Jesus came along, broke the power of the devil off of your back, washed away your sins, gave you a new future, and set you free. Hallelujah. And as a result, we are the delivered now. Well, the delivered women danced to the Lord. The second dance in the Old Testament we see is the dance of the devoted warrior. His name is King David. Everybody say King David. If anybody in the scriptures were a warrior, David was a warrior. And here's what we read about him in 2 Samuel 6, verse 12. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God." So David went down and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Here it is, verse 14. David, this is the king, mind you, David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with what? With all his might. That was a happy dance. What was David happy about? He was happy that the presence of the Lord was there. The Ark of the Covenant, God's promises, his covenant with his people. And David was thrilled that God was near. And we might say, well, David doing a dance like that, isn't that kind of sissyish? Well, let's remind ourselves today who David was. David was the shepherd boy tending his father's sheep out on the countryside. And when a bear or a lion came along to destroy the sheep, David, as a teenage boy, rose up and fought off the lion and the bear, killed the lion and the bear in order to protect the sheep. That doesn't sound like a sissy to me, does it to you? David was the one who at 17 years old moved into the ranks of the Israeli army and took up a slingshot with five smooth stones and in the name of the Lord struck down the giant Goliath who had struck fear into all of the hearts of the Israelites. David was a mighty warrior. David was the one who, when he would come home from his military campaigns, the people would be singing, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And they would sing about the great military victories of King David. King David was a mighty man of God. But listen, he was not too arrogant to realize that everything he had came from the Lord. And because of that, David was a devoted warrior before God. He loved God with all of his heart. And when the presence of God was near, David danced before the Lord with all of his might. That's good, isn't it? The third Old Testament dance we see is the dance of the drawn worshipers. We read about them in Jeremiah 31. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again and you will be rebuilt, O virgin Israel. Again, you will take up your tambourines and go out to dance with the joyful. So the Lord says, you're the people I have sent out my love like a magnet to. I have expressed my love to you. And with my love, God says, I have drawn you to myself. How many in the house, you are a born-again believing Christian? Lift your hand and say amen if that's you. If you are a born-again believing Christian, let me ask you today, what attracted you to Jesus? Well, ultimately, it was the message of the gospel, the good news that God loves you. Aren't you glad for that? God loves you. He has a plan to bring you out of sin into salvation and a plan to give you everlasting life. And with that message of love, he has drawn us to himself. And as we come near the Lord, recognizing the Lord's great love for us, Jeremiah says, we're going to be able to dance to the Lord because we know we're living in the favor of God. Isn't that good? So dancers fill the pages of Old Testament history. Let's look secondly then at the dance in the hymn book. These are the references to the dance in the book of Psalms. There are two of them. First is the dance performed by the comforted, those who have received the comfort of the Lord. We hear it in Psalm 30. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give you thanks forever. And so the psalmist here, the psalmist David says, the Lord has, I was crying, I was weeping and wailing, but the Lord turned all of that into joy. Isn't that good? I've been comforted by the Lord. Notice the Lord didn't just stop his crying. The Lord actually took him two big tall stages. He took him from the mully grubs where he was weeping and wailing. He lifted him up to where he was no longer weeping and wailing. But the Lord did more than that. The Lord actually brought him up to the next place where he was filled with joy. Are you here? Look at me, everybody. You don't have to just get to a place where you are free from the pain of your sin. You can actually get to the place where you experience the great joy of the Lord in your life over what God has done and what he's going to do in your life. And that place of joy is the mountaintop. Amen? And so in the book of Psalms, we find this transformation from wailing to joy. And then we find at the end of the book of Psalms, the dance prescribed for the congregation. Psalm 149 says this, praise the Lord. Can you read this out with me? Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Let them praise his name with what? With dancing, and make music to him with tambourine and harp. Did you know the Bible describes for us methods and modes of worship and praise to the Lord? You might say, well, why at First Assembly do they raise their hands during the worship? We do that because the scripture says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. That's why we do that. You say, well, why do some people just shout out something during the praise service? Well, we do that because the scripture says, shout to God, all the earth, with the voice of triumph. And I don't know about you, but I'm triumphant in Jesus. So sometimes I may shout, if I offend you, I'm sorry. But the reality is the scripture gives us these exhortations and these instructions about worship. The scripture says sing and shout and lift your hands and praise God. And sometimes the scripture says praise him with a dance even. It's right in the book of Psalms. So we have the dancers of history, the dance in the hymn book. Thirdly, and I hate to bring this category to you, we see in the scripture even the dances of the heathen. People who are not God's people. Three examples here. First example shows us that they dance in the darkness sometimes. Exodus 32 tells the story of Moses when Moses is coming down from the mountaintop with the Ten Commandments. And when he gets near the camp, he hears all this riotous celebration and they're singing and they're dancing down there. But they're not dancing to God. They're dancing to a golden calf that Aaron has built for them while Moses is on the mount. While the cat's away, the mice play, okay? While Moses is on the mountain, Aaron and the people of Israel turn away from God and build an idol and begin to worship a golden calf. And they're dancing in celebration to that golden calf, to an idol, dancing in their spiritual darkness. The second illustration of the dance of the heathen comes to us from 1 Kings chapter 18, tells us that sometimes the heathen even dance to the dead. We see it here. It's the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel. I've been there when I've been to Israel. Elijah on Mount Carmel, Elijah is having a contest with the prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the false god Baal. And they gather there on the mountain, and Elijah sets up a contest and said, all right, the God who sends fire from heaven is really God. And so the prophets of Baal get out there and they say, okay, well, we're going to call on Baal and see if Baal will send us fire from heaven. Okay, they begin to call on Baal. Look at what the scripture says. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. Since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Oh, Baal, answer us. Can you picture shouting out to an idol all day long, expecting a response? That's what they're doing. They're shouting out to an idol all day long. They might as well save their breath. But here they are crying out to this false god. They shouted out, oh, Baal, answer us. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. Dancing to the to a dead god. Imagine that. Not only were they wasting their breath, they were wasting their dance. Thirdly, we see this dance in the New Testament. Sometimes the heathen dance in their defiance. It's the story of King Herod's birthday. Mark 6 says, on his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want and I'll give it to you. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I'll give up to half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? Her mother answered, the head of John the Baptist. At once the girl hurried into the king and with this request, I want you to give me right here on a platter the head of John the Baptist. Here they are in outright defiance to the work of God and to the ministry of Jesus. In the process of calling for John the Baptist to be beheaded. And in the midst of it, this girl is dancing before the king. Now, why do I bring these strange examples of dancing on the part of the heathen, the world? I bring these examples to say to you, even the wicked world gets excited about something. Are you here? Even sinners get excited about something. Just test it out at a football game. Yeah. People get excited, but they get excited about what thrills them. I can tell you that the same grown man, are you listening this morning? The same grown man can scream and shout and act like an idiot at a football game, and he's too shy to lift his hand to worship the Lord in a church service. Now, you didn't think the preacher was going to get practical, but it's about to. Are you awake today? What makes the difference is what thrills you, what excites you. Even the wicked world gets excited about something. And listen to me, if there's any subject in this world that ought to put a thrill down in our souls, it's the good news of Jesus Christ. And as the people of God who've experienced his grace, how many of you here today have ever committed a sin? Let me see your hand. How many of you have been forgiven of your sins by Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad? Let me ask you this morning, aren't you glad you don't have to die and go to hell? Huh? Oh, yeah, I am. Aren't you glad you get to go to heaven? Aren't you glad that you can pray and God hears you? Aren't you glad that you can experience God's blessings in your life? Yes. God has good news. And if the wicked world can rejoice over all of their meaningless junk, no offense to football, I'm not against football. But if the world can rejoice over things that don't amount to that much, then we ought to be able to rejoice greatly over the things that do. Yeah? Amen? Lift your hand right now and say, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. Ah, we love you and we praise you right now, Lord, for your grace and your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, yes and amen. That's why Jesus teaches that it's strange when you examine the doldrums of the hard-hearted, people who won't respond to God. People who hear the message, but they're not inspired to move. You see, the gospel should be powerful enough, and it is. The gospel is powerful enough to inspire us to do something. You get that? So, well, I hear it and I think something. No. Over and over and over again, the scriptures teach us that our response to the gospel ought to be a response of action, not just thought. Now, whether that's the dance like we see in scripture today or a variety of other things, there should be some response. But Jesus says the hard-hearted are just bored. They're not inclined to advance despite the great gospel opportunity before them. Jesus said about the kingdom in verse 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. So Jesus says the kingdom is out there and it's advancing. But if you want to grab hold of all the kingdom that's available to you, the kingdom of God, you got to press in for it. Are you here this morning? Jesus says it's forceful men who lay hold of the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you this morning, there are many things in life and many things in the kingdom of God you're not going to lay hold of if you don't press in with all of your heart. Are you listening? So many times, all of these wonderful offers of God's blessings are out ahead of us. There's so many spiritual realities available to us, but we don't press in to receive. And if we want what the Lord has for us, we've got to go after it. Are you here this morning? We've got to go after it. The forceful take the kingdom by force. How many of you here this morning, you want everything God has for you? Say amen. Well, you're going to have to go after it. Are you here? You're going to have to go. How many of you want to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? Let me see your hand. Let me tell you, you're going to have to go after it. Right? How many of you need a healing in your life somehow, some kind of healing in your life, whether it's physical or spiritual? You need it. You want that? You got to go after it. You've got to press in to receive. How many want to live the abundant life that Jesus promised? You're not satisfied with a mediocre life. You want abundant life. Say amen. You want God's blessings in their fullness. Say amen. If you want that, you've got to go after it. But Jesus said, despite the fact that there's great gospel opportunity out there, a whole kingdom for us to inherit, despite that, many people will not advance toward that. They just are bored and disinterested. And they're not inspired to dance despite the glorious gospel overture, the music of the gospel. And Jesus said, this generation is like children sitting in the marketplace calling out to others, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. You know what? I am always amazed. I've been in church my whole life. This week I turned 58 years old. I never thought I'd be that old. 58. Do I look like a dinosaur? 58 years old this Tuesday. I still got a little step in me. And I still got a whole lot of preach in me. 58 years old. I've been in church my whole life. It's always amazed me that sometimes people who have been longtime Christians can sit through church service after church service after church service and never be stirred by anything. Some people will, they've been in church for years, they won't open their mouth to sing one song. Everybody singing? They don't want to sing. They're just bored. They are non-responsive. Have you ever heard that term? Have you ever heard that medical term? Non-responsive. Non-responsive often means dead. And it just amazes me that sometimes the people who have benefited the most from the great mercies and love of God, their lives have been showered with blessing, and yet they don't even want to open their mouth and sing when the congregation is singing. God forbid they should respond to anything. And oh yeah, they come up with a variety of excuses. They'll say things like this. Well, I don't like that, some of that new music. What, do you like the Lord? Well, I don't like that particular style. Well, do you like Jesus? Huh? I know it's quiet in the room. I expected that this morning. It was even quieter in the first service. That's all right. Jeremiah the prophet, when Jeremiah was called to the ministry, the Lord said to Jeremiah, don't be afraid. Now, when you prophesy to the people, don't be afraid of the look on their faces. And so until I got these glasses recently, I couldn't even see the look on some of your faces. But I learned a long time ago, I have to preach for one main audience, and that's the Lord. Are you here? And then I preach to the next audience, which is me. I have to preach a sermon in the mirror before I ever give it to anybody. And then my third audience is you. So by the time you come around, I've already preached the message twice. And whatever your facial expression is does not really matter that much. But the truth is, sometimes people are so blessed of God and they are so non-responsive. I'm not just talking about singing. I'm talking about any response at all. Some people, they've received God's great mercy. They won't sing. They won't shout. They won't give of their tithes and offerings. They won't serve the Lord in a ministry. They won't do anything. They are doubled down do-nothings. The flute is playing, but they are not dancing. Now, I know this is the kind of message usually an evangelist would preach, because he can hit the highway and never look back. And I got to be here with you next Sunday, so I'm going to try to sweeten it up before I leave. Is that okay? But Jesus rebukes here the non-responsive. The non-responsive. And lest you think I'm just talking about physical exuberance. No, I'm talking about response as the Lord lead you being responsive in action to what you sense in your soul when you are so grateful and glad for the blessings of the Lord. Are you with me this morning? So here we go. Jesus said, kids are playing. The flute is fluting. And the dancers aren't dancing, huh? The doldrums of the hard-hearted. I say this morning on behalf of everybody here at First Assembly, we are not going to get bored with the Lord. Could I have a better amen? I'll never forget years ago, we were taking our men to the Promise Keepers conferences. Yes, I've been around that long. Promise Keepers. And we would go to the Promise Keepers conferences and all the guys would have a heyday. We'd take a couple buses, you know, travel to some city, big men's conference. Everybody'd have a heyday at the Promise Keepers conference. And I was talking to some fellow pastors one day, and one of the pastors said, well, you know, it kind of frustrates me. He said, we go to the Promise Keepers meeting, and he said, the speaker on the platform says, Jesus is Lord. He said, my men just shout. They jump up and scream. Yes. He said, I don't even know who they are. He said, I've been saying Jesus is Lord in the church house all these years. I've never seen anything like that from them. Listen, friends, our response ought to be based on the message. Are you listening? On the strength of the message. When Jesus is Lord, we ought to at least get a little bit of an amen out of everybody in the house. Who knows? I said, Jesus is Lord. Yeah, we ought to get some response to that. But we've become accustomed to things. And the danger is that we who have been around for a while become as bored with the Lord as people who've never even known Jesus. They've never been impressed. And we used to be impressed. Isn't that a sad picture? So Jesus says, don't be like that. When the flute plays, get on your dancing shoes. Could you say amen? Let's talk as we close about four dances of the happy heart. One is the dance of lavish love. When the Lord loves us, we ought to love him. Huh? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Love the Lord, love the Lord, love the Lord. I'll tell you, it takes something to love the Lord. That's why Joshua said, be very careful to love the Lord your God. Be very careful. Don't fall out of love with Jesus. Have you ever known a husband and a wife who fell out of love with each other? Sure you have. Don't fall out of love with Jesus. Don't let your love grow cold. Don't forsake your first love for Jesus. But keep a fire burning in your heart for the Lord and press in to know the Lord like never before. Do you know what God wants most from you is that you love him, right? The dance of lavish love. The second dance is the dance of overflowing obedience. 2 John 6 says, this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. You want to demonstrate your love for God? Obey him. Walk in obedience. And the more you love the Lord, the more you will obey him. And your obedience will overflow. How many in the house today believe that you could develop even a stronger love for the Lord than you have right now? How many of you believe that? You could actually grow in your love for the Lord. Don't you want that? How many of you believe that you could actually grow in your level of obedience to the Lord? Do you believe that? Say, I'm pretty obedient. Well, let's take it down to the subcategory. Sometimes I get my outlines from the Lord. Well, I hope I do at least. I have points and then subpoints and sub-subpoints and sub-sub-subpoints. Sometimes if we go down in our lives to the sub-sub-sub-point level, we'll see we have room to grow in the area of obedience as well, don't we? Yeah, we can grow. The dance of lavish love, the dance of overflowing obedience, the third dance is the dance of sacrificial service. Here it is, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So the third worship dance, praise dance, the third response to the great love of God is sacrificial service. Actually serving God by going the extra mile. Huh? Have you ever known a second miler who always went the second mile in things? Has anybody here ever known a no miler? They wouldn't hardly do anything. You had to drag them around to do anything. Has anybody ever known a one miler? Okay, they'll do what you tell them, but not an inch more, right? If you work in a workplace, you know all of these kinds of people. You know what a second miler is? It's a person who goes above and beyond, who goes the second mile, who wants to rise up to the next level. And so the third dance of praise to the Lord here is the dance of sacrificial service, doing our very best everywhere we are to bring glory and praise to God. Doesn't that sound beautiful? And the Lord loves that. I'll tell you, the Lord would, I'll tell you, the Lord would love that dance even more than he would love a good two-step. Are you listening? He'd love that dance more than he'd love a good rumba or a good, what are Linda and Joyce? I don't know the names of all those dances out there. There are the dancers back there. He loves these kinds of dances more than all the others. The dance of lavish love, the dance of, the dance of overflowing obedience, the dance of sacrificial service, and the last dance we'll talk about is this. It's the dance of passionate praise. There, we're back to the dance now. The dance of passionate praise. Look at what the scripture says in Psalm 66. We'll close with this. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Here we've got the dance in other scriptures. Here are some other expressions. Shout with joy to God. Are you a shouter? Huh? Somebody shout, hallelujah! Are you a shouter? Are you a singer? Sing the glory of his name. Oh, wait, listen, you know that I have struggled with coughing for the last 2 years. I have struggled with coughing for the last 2 years. I'm much better than I was, but you know it's been a frustration to me since that ordeal I went through 2 years ago. It's been a frustration to have this lingering cough. Do you know my greatest frustration about this cough is that I cannot sing as loudly and as strongly as I used to sing. That's it. I can preach. Well, hope you'll be the judge of that, won't you? I've got a voice to preach and I can get it out. Sometimes I'll cough in the middle, but I've been praying lately. Oh God, restore my strength to sing like I used to sing. And I don't want to lead the singing. Heidi, you're the song, you're it. But I want to be able to stand on that front row and lift my voice like a trumpet in the worship service and sing the glory of his name. Oh, because there's something about that overflow of praise. And then here's the final instruction. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name and make his praise. What? Glorious. And boy, that's my desire, isn't it? I want to dance the dance of passionate praise. I want to make his praise glory. I don't want the praises of the Lord in this sanctuary ever to be dull and dead. Are you here? If it ever is, it's not the leader's fault. Every member of the house adds to the level of praise in the house. Are you here? I want to make his, I don't want the praises of God ever to be dull and dead in my own home. Are you here? When I'm in my house, I want the praises of God even when I'm there by myself, which is most of the time. I want the praises of God to rise like a mighty roar. Where God is glorified and where his praise becomes glorious in our midst. Can I ask you this morning, dear Christian friend, can I ask you to add to the level of praise in this house? I asked you a moment ago, do you think you could find some room to love the Lord even better? Yeah. I asked you a moment ago, do you think there's room in your life actually to obey the Lord a little more fully? Do you? Do you think there's room in your life to give a little more sacrificially in your life to the Lord on an everyday basis? Do you believe that? Do you think you could actually help to increase the level of heartfelt praise and worship in the house of God? Do you? Oh, I know we can. In your own home, in your own family, in your own life, make his praise glorious. And when the music plays, let's dance. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand together, please. I have not been praying that the Lord would give me more strength to dance, just to sing. But in the spiritual realm, I want to respond wholeheartedly to the Lord in every category, yeah? And I want the Lord to receive absolute glory from my life. Father, I thank you this morning for this congregation of believers. Thank you, Lord, for many Christians in the room today who love you with all of their heart, who serve you and worship you, who love your presence, who walk with you on a day-to-day basis, and who are living life for you. Thank you, Lord, for your people today. Thank you, Lord, for calling us always to a deeper level, a higher level in you. We recognize, Lord, that as long as we live, there's going to be room to grow in you. So we pray, help us, Lord. Help us never to be bored with the Lord. Never, Lord, to lose our fire. But Lord, stir up something fresh and anew within us today, oh God. I feel convicted right now to say this. Look at me, everybody. I am reminded that Paul wrote to Timothy with these words, stir up the gift that is in you. I feel convicted for praying that the Lord would stir it up in us when we need to stir it up in ourselves. Are you here? Lord, help us to stir up within our hearts and lives today a greater passion for you. Ah, that we will be dancers in every aspect of the word, Lord. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody here in the room this morning, you've never received Jesus into your life as your Savior, but you would like to do that today? We would love to pray for you and lead you in a prayer and pray the blessing of the Lord upon your life. Anybody here who'd say, Pastor, today I want to come to Jesus and receive him as my Savior. Would you lift your hand wherever you are? Hold it up so I can see you wherever you are across the building. I want to become a Christian today, a follower of Jesus Christ. Please pray for me. Anybody across the room? I'm going to look for just a moment. Anyone like that across the room? Lift your hand. How many in the house, you are a convinced, committed, born again believer in Jesus Christ? You love the Lord today and you want to love him to the best of your ability. Would you say amen this morning? That's our heart's desire. Let's sing together this song before we leave. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me.